This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Monday. We've had Medal of Honor Monday. We've done all sorts of good stuff. So I'll touch on this Iran press conference, bunch of Iran comments from Trump over the last 48, 72 hours. What's going on there? And then we'll move on. We'll do emails and other things. All right, so let me catch you up in case you did as you should and put your phone down for Easter weekend. You know, we don't have to recap the whole thing. Donald Trump wants to come home. He knows he needs an off-ramp in Iran, but it's not as simple as just turning the ships around and coming home. The Iranians realize the Strait of Hormuz, closing it essentially, closing that strait is their biggest weapon because it hurts the world's economy. As long as they are bombing ships or the threat of bombing ships is there going through the strait, the world's economy is going to suffer. The prices of everything, not just oil. Remember, oil is used to make everything. So if you just raise the price of oil, downstream of that, everything goes up. Now, for economies around the world, not just ours, that's a problem. It's Iran's ace in the hole. That is their weapon. It's not planes, which they don't have any more of. It's not ships. That is their weapon. You understand that. Donald Trump wants to come home. Donald Trump put out on social media, I will not read it verbatim because there's a big potty word in there. He dropped an F-bomb on it. But Donald Trump in the last 48 hours has come out and said this. I'm going to start bombing your oil refineries and bridges to smithereens. In fact, he referenced Tuesday. These are separate posts. On one, he said, hey, you know what Tuesday is? Tuesday is oil day and bridge day. We'll do it all at once. We'll just bomb everything you have at once. Then in a separate post, Donald Trump said, Tuesday, 8 p.m. Eastern time. It was kind of cryptic, but everyone's kind of thinking that's when he's going to do it, okay? Then he put up his post with an exclamation point on it that said, open the beeping strait. Donald Trump is threatening Iran. He is threatening Iran with complete economic devastation. We will bomb out all their stuff if they don't come together and negotiate and agree to open up the strait. I am going to ask you right now to pray. Now, here is why. The next 24 hours, if 8 p.m. Eastern time is actually accurate, the next 24 hours, give or take a couple hours, it might be the 24 hours that decides so many things. It might be the 24 hours that decides how the rest of this war goes, whether or not we can come home. If you follow that downstream politically, it might be the 24 hours that decides whether or not Democrats take the Senate. It might be this moment right now is a moment to pray. So let's just talk through this like adults, you and me. Donald Trump obviously is threatening Iran with the biggest of big hammers. Hey, we're going to take out your power. You take out a country's power. This is not a small little place, remember, 90 million people. You start wiping out the energy and economy, that would be their power and their economy, gone. You have devastated not just the leaders,
the people themselves of the country, they will suffer and they will die. All right, so that's one aspect to it. Why would he threaten such a thing? Donald Trump believes that he has to take the threat level all the way up to as high as he can take it in order to get them to agree to open the strait. He's thinking to himself, I've already killed all your leaders. We're killing everybody. And you still haven't given up. They haven't even shown signs, to be frank, of giving up yet. Okay, well, you're going to make me do it. Don't make me do it. I'm going to do this if you don't open up the strait. So where we go from here is one of three directions. And this is a journey fraught with danger. The first direction, let's do the good news. Let's say Iran says, hey, please don't bomb the refineries and bridges and things like that. We will open up the strait. We'll negotiate a peace deal. That might very well happen in the next 24 hours. I am not predicting that. That's not me predicting it, but that is our outcome that we want. That's what we want. They say, hey, all right, we'll open up the strait. Let's sit down. We'll work out some sort of a peace deal that will give Donald Trump the off-ramp he's been looking for. We start hammering out a peace deal. The Navy turns around, sails back home. We focus on home front matters from now until November. That is by a mile our best case scenario. Okay? The second scenario is he actually starts bombing their energy. If he does that, then there is a chance, I don't want to make definite predictions, there is a chance we will see a global recession. The markets will respond so negatively if they believe Iranian oil is being taken completely off the table. And remember, if you start bombing out the infrastructure, you're not just taking it off the table until the bombs start dropping. It takes forever to rebuild these things. You have taken Iran and all that oil, you have taken it out of the world's economy. I promise you, Trump doesn't want to do it. If he does that, the markets will respond in a very bad way. That will be very bad. Now, that's obviously not ideal. That's not what you want. It's not what I want. It's not what Trump wants. The third option might be the worst of the options. The third option is this. What if he doesn't do it? Meaning Iran doesn't come to the table. They don't agree to open the strait. But Donald Trump, who knows full well everything I just said, I didn't inform him of anything. I promise you, he knows it. He would know what the fallout would be of that bombing campaign. What if he chickens out? That's the risk you take. It's a risky game. War is a risky game. That's the risk you take when you not only throw that threat out there, you throw that threat out there publicly. Now, it's not just Iran who's watching. Remember, when the President of the United States of America speaks, who listens? The whole world. The whole world saw what Donald Trump said. You have until Tuesday. You have until Tuesday. You have until Tuesday. The deadline is Tuesday. You have until Tuesday. Tuesday. He has said it multiple times. Open up that strait by Tuesday or I'm coming for all your oil infrastructure. Can he afford to chicken out on that? Probably not. There's a chance, I guess, he could try to say, well, I was going to do it, but we had a great talk with Iran. I think we're closer to a deal than we were before because we're closer to a deal and they're being super cool about it. I've decided since they're being so cool, I've decided to hold off. There's a chance, but that's the, what Chris, what? Chris says, but Iran would know it's a bluff. Well, that comes back to why that's such a crappy option. If Donald Trump does that, how's Iran going to take that? Iran is going to take that. Remember, these people are psychos. Iran's going to take that as, oh, he doesn't have the stones. He didn't have the guts to do it. It's not like Iran doesn't already have a pretty good idea that their economy, their ability to hurt the world's economy is the only card they have to play. If they think we are unwilling to call them on that, well, now we're where? Ground troops? Can't do ground troops. Iran is way bigger than Iraq. You can't do that. You can't do that. That puts us in a whole different ballgame. So I said all that because I'm going to play a couple things from Trump today. Trump, and desperate is not necessarily the word I want to use, but he is desperate to get that strait open. He needs it open so he can come home. He needs a strait open so he can come home. He needs a strait open so he can come home. And he is expressing his frustration loudly with our allies, really called some out by name today. Hang on.
Jesse Kelly returns next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful Monday. It's been a Medal of Honor Monday. Maybe you can email us, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. So Trump said a bunch of things today. This is one of them.
If I had my choice, what would I like to do? Take the oil. Because it's there for the taking. There's not a thing they can do about it. Unfortunately.
Well, I guess I should let him finish. My bad.
If I had my choice, what would I like to do? Take the oil. Because it's there for the taking. There's not a thing they can do about it. Unfortunately, the American people would like to see us come home. If it were up to me, I'd take the oil. I'd keep the oil.
As I have explained, no matter how many people thought I was lying or got mad, you don't know what Trump says. As you just heard, he said the American people want to come home. He is aware of the political reality now. All right. He's screaming in exclamation points about open the strait. He's threatening the most dire consequences if the strait is not open. And he is very, very frustrated that our allies have not stepped in to aid us in this endeavor.
Think of it. And it's not just NATO. You know who else didn't help us? South Korea didn't help us. You know who else didn't help us? Australia didn't help us. You know who else didn't help us? Japan. We've got 50,000 soldiers in Japan to protect them from North Korea. We have 45,000 soldiers in South Korea to protect us from Kim Jong-un, who I get along with very well, as you know. Do you notice he said very nice things about me? He used to call Joe Biden a mentally retarded person, okay? So don't tell me about your stuff. Joe Biden, he said he's a mentally retarded person. He was so nasty to Joe Biden. It was terrible. But to me, he likes Trump. And do you notice how nice things are with North Korea? It's very nice.
So he not only calls out Korea and Japan and Australia, he even throws a little pat on the back for North Korea. What's he actually doing there? He doesn't need to be told that Kim is a piece of trash. What he's doing there is telling Japan and South Korea, hey, I kind of like this guy. You should have helped. Why aren't you helping? He has threatened to leave NATO. Where is all this coming from? In Trump's mind, and he's probably not incorrect about this, we provide the defense for so many of these countries, either all of it or most of it. And most of those countries, we provide most of it. I'll put it that way. Most of their defense is ours. In Trump's mind, this is a simple business transaction. I'm paying for it. I asked you to come help. And you said, no. And he's at a moment, as I said, of desperation. This is when I told you this was such a critical 24 hours between now and tomorrow. Let me reemphasize, Donald Trump knows this too. We have to get this done. And he knows it. That's why he's screaming, open the strait, with F-bombs in there. That's why he's cussing out our closest allies in there. That's why he's threatening NATO. Nobody's helping. Open the strait. Nobody's helping. He said this today too.
You talk about, oh, freedom for Iran. They don't tell you the real facts. Women, men, gays. How about gays for Iran? They kill the gays. They throw them off buildings. So I wonder what's going on. I can only say this. They want us to keep bombing, even if it jeopardized, because their life is in much greater danger. They want freedom for Iran, but it's very hard for them to protest. I actually tell them, I said, don't go out. I fully understand. Nobody in this room would go out. I don't think there's any, because frankly, it's not a question of bravery.
When he's talking about they, it wasn't clear. He's talking about the Iranian people. You know, there hasn't been an uprising. And he said, I've told him, don't go out. I mean, don't go out.
We're all brave, right? You're brave. I'm brave. We're all brave. But we're also intelligent. If you have people shooting at you, expert shots with the best rifles you can get and hitting you right between the eyes every single time, and you're looking here and you're seeing and you're looking here, you're out of there.
So here's the question I cannot answer. And to be honest, there's not a single person walking the planet who can answer this question. Only God himself has this answer. But there's a chance we're all going to find out the answer soon. And the question is this. If Iran, in the next 24 hours, does not capitulate, does not open the strait, and if Donald Trump follows through and starts bombing Iranian infrastructure to smithereens, I would guess he won't start with the whole country. Probably a little one here, a little one there, maybe to kind of wake him up. But if he starts bombing that to smithereens, what happens if they still don't capitulate? He already mentioned the people. The reason I played that was he already mentioned the people are understandably too afraid to go out. There has not been an uprising. There's not been a rebellion. Donald Trump mentioned earlier today, I'm not going to play it for you, that we actually did send guns, but the guns were, of course, stolen by the people who were supposed to distribute them. So if there's no uprising from the people themselves, is the regime going to capitulate? If they don't capitulate, if they don't cry uncle, what happens after that? And I don't know the answer to that. I don't know where it goes from there. But I know this journey is fraught with danger now. This is how it is. We will see. You and me, we're going to see together. We'll go through it together. But these next 24 hours are critical for a whole host of reasons. Please bow your head and say a prayer. It's time to do that, okay? All right, enough of that. We're done. We're moving on. Do some emails and some other things before we do those other things. Let's get rid of the pain in your life. Relief Factor will remove the pain from your life. Not for a couple hours, like that pill bottle does. I'm talking about you can live pain-free again. Do you remember what it was like when your foot didn't hurt? Do you remember what it was like when you didn't have to wince every time you bent over? When work didn't hurt? Do you remember? What if Relief Factor could bring you back there? Think of it like a pain time machine, and it's drug-free. Developed by doctors, but 100% drug-free. Over a million people have already tried it. Almost 70% call them after 3 weeks and say, please send me more. Permanent. I want to stress that. Not mask the pain. Permanent removal. Call 1-800, the number 4-RELIEF, or go to relieffactor.com. Take it every day for 3 weeks. Every day, 3 weeks, you're about to be pain-free. 1-800, the number 4-RELIEF. We'll be back.
He doesn't care if you believe him, but he's right. Jesse Kelly.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
But you do want to be informed.
Can you be informed without being all of those other things? We think so. Jack Armstrong and Joe Getty, the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
If you shoot at us and we deflect it, it doesn't really count. And that just doesn't make any sense. You got to make a rule. Don't shoot at the United States. Or if you prefer, Iran, blah, blah, blah. America haters are winning. The would-be communists, the Marxists, are winning in America. And they're doing so openly, and nobody cares.
I think giving the downtrodden money enables them. They aren't getting the money. I'm winning.
Good Lord, that was the voice of the patriarchy right there, folks. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Monday. Remember, you can email us, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. At least you can feel better about this. Headline from Breitbart: Zelensky laments Iran conflict is diverting attention from Ukraine. He's so needy. Hey, Jesse, I know you claim to have only gone to community college, but that school must have had an amazing reading list. What do you read on your own? I always tell you when I'm reading a good book. How can there be a surplus of Americans capable of doing any job, let alone one in tech, when the U.S. has been declining since 2017? All right, so I wanted to read this email for this point, because you will hear people say, we don't have Americans who can fill these roles. You know, Oracle just hired a bunch of tech people for AI, and they will say, Americans can't fill these roles. We don't have enough people. There aren't Americans who can do this, so I have to go find a foreigner who can do that. But let's just talk about this. How does an economy work? How does a free market work? How does it work? Well, when there are deficiencies in it, when you need something or want something that you do not have, because there is a need for it or a want for it, people will figure out a way to provide it. Now, for instance, I would like a new producer, right? We don't need a third guy. I'm talking about a replacement for Chris. Chris, it's fine. I would like a new producer. The show is failing. The show's doing great, but the show is failing. It's a disaster over here. It's clearly not me. And we need a new producer. Now, do you think because I need a new producer, should be proactive going out there, finding somebody who would make the show better, who can do Chris's job? Should I get proactive and get involved? Would that prompt me to be proactive? Of course, right? Of course. There's a need. I have a need. Now I am going to dig in and figure out how to solve that problem. But it would be a disaster if somebody came in and said, well, we'll just solve the problem for you, because then the problem never gets solved. Hey, Jesse, we'll hire this temporary worker. He's from Haiti. Please don't bring your pets in, but he'll come in and he'll run the board and press some buttons. And then we'll get a new person from, this person will be from El Salvador the next day. Then we'll grab someone else. He's from Turkey the next day. Well, if we continue to bring in foreigners to patchwork parts of our economy that may be missing trained Americans, then we'll never train the Americans. That never happens when you're a business and you can just say, I'm picking on Oracle, but that's just because of the most recent one in the news. When you can just say, okay, I need 1,000 people who do coding. I need 1,000 people who do coding. Up, I looked, there aren't any Americans. Great, I tried. I need 1,000 people from India. Stat. No. If all the businesses, and Oracle isn't the only one, if they're looking for American workers and they can't find American workers, I'll just go with coding, but there's a million different jobs there, then what should happen in a country that is run properly in a free market, those companies should start training programs.
Those companies should start leaning on American universities, maybe even collaborate and start their own universities so they can start training American workers to do the job. As long as we continue to bring in foreigners to patchwork every job that Americans can't currently do, then the problem never gets solved. The idea should be the American worker. And if you don't have enough of them, go find them and pay them and train them, and they'll do it too. But that's a lot of work, you see. That involves innovation. You have to start certain things. You have to do certain things. It's so much easier to just donate $10 million to your Republican politician and then ask them for another 10,000 H-1Bs. That's the easier thing. But that's not what's best for the United States of America. Are there deficiencies? Are we missing some people? Well, you remember, I've talked to you before about Mike Rowe is currently involved. You know, the great Mike Rowe. He's currently involved in trying to get Americans building submarines. That's a big thing Trump is hot on. He wants to build submarines. Well, they're running into a problem that they can't find enough tradesmen to do it. Okay. But is that a problem? Now, let me be clear. It may be a short-term problem right now, but I need X. I don't have X. I think I better go create a Y that in the end will give me the X I'm looking for. If we're so desperate for tradesmen to build American submarines, go find some in America. Oh, but they don't know. Then train them. Oh, but they're doing other fields. Then pay them more. You may have to elevate their wages. What you shouldn't be doing is viewing yourself as a multinational corporation who has to go grab 30 more people from Pakistan to fill the role. No more of that crap. Because then they come here, they get married, they have 85 kids, and now these people are running these ads for Congress.
Do you know that we are the most New Jersey biggest communities in New Jersey? My name is Jay Vangankar, and I'm running for election for Congress on June 2nd. But for many years, our Desi Voices politics are not fully represented. Now the time has come that our voice is heard in truth. That's why I'm running for election for Congress.
Train the Americans. Find the Americans. Pay the Americans. Train the Americans. No more of this patchwork stuff. We need more foreigners. No. Jesse, I wanted to compliment you on not having too many guests. There are so many shows that just have guests on the entire time. It's so annoying. There's a certain show that used to just be the host and the boys hanging out. Now it's just 2 hours with 4 to 6 guests per day. All right, it says I can say his name. You know, a lot of that's just laziness, right? It's a weird thing to sit down and talk for 3 hours a day. It is weird. I understand that. And there are some days you have more to say than other days, whether that be your own mood or a news story or not. There are some days where you got a lot to say. And there are some days where maybe you're not as passionate about the news or whatever. Some day, Chris called it the cycle. He's talking about the news cycle. Some days, the news cycle just sucks. To make a sports comparison, you know how big football is? I used to listen to a sports guy, and this is years and years and years ago, and he used to say, well, anybody can do sports radio in football season. There's always something to talk about. Everyone cares about it. Can you do sports radio in July? There's nothing on but baseball. That's a difference, right? So it's not for everybody. And a lot of it is just basic run-of-the-mill laziness. You've got a job. You got a big media gig of some kind, podcast, radio, TV, or something. And you don't have anything to say, or you don't feel like coming up with something to say. So you just go drag a bunch of people out and have them talk. And that's how you want to do your show, that's fine. My mentor, Michael Berry, I told you this before. When I started doing radio 7 years ago, I'd never done a radio show before. When I started doing that 7 years ago, he banned me from having guests or taking phone calls for, I think it was 6 months. Why? No, you learn how to sit there and do a show. You sit there and do a show. It's not the guest show with Jesse Kelly. It's the Jesse Kelly show. I have to figure out how to do it. Maybe it's the chalk, though. Maybe that's the difference, Chris. See, I have a mind that works really well now because my T levels are through the roof. You know you need testosterone for logical thinking, for clear thinking. That brain fog you have now, senior moment. You ever say that? That's because you don't have natural herbal supplements from chalk in your body. Natural herbal supplements from chalk, they'll change everything for you. They're going to change your mood. They're going to change how your mind works. They're going to change your energy level. If you want to know what I take a male vitality stack every single day with my breakfast. They have female vitality stacks. They have pre-workouts. These are natural herbal supplements, the best I've ever seen in my life. Get a subscription and see what I'm talking about. CHOQ.com, promo code Jesse. Chuck.com, promo code Jesse. We'll be back.
Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, final segment of the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Monday. If you want to email us, you can. Jesse at JesseKellyShow.com. Remember when I was talking about Pam Bondi resigning? And I mentioned that Trump, he's got a shaky Senate as it is now. After November, it might be a bit shakier. Oh, when I said shaky Senate, here's Tom Tillis. We're going to need his vote.
For me, the threshold for somebody following Pam Bondi ends the moment I hear they said one thing that excused the events of January the 6th. I've been very clear on that. So I hope whoever they have in mind to follow General Bondi was very clear-eyed on my position on January the 6th. That's why I didn't support two other nominees who were coming through Judiciary Committee, and I won't support any nominee who thought that any element of January 6th was excused.
Might be a rocky road. We will see how that one goes. Democrats hate America. Here's Representative Adam Smith.
I mean, Donald Trump, Pete Hegseth, all these people spend all this time talking about we're the United States of America, the greatest country in the history of the world, the shining city on the hill and all of that. And back in World War II, when the Germans were desperate to surrender to Americans instead of Russians because we were that, it was something that we could be proud of.
Democrats just hate the country. Speaking of Democrats who hate the country, I am hearing things. You've probably heard some of these things, too. It's not like it's exclusive to me. That Eric Swalwell, that huge goober in California, congressman who's running for governor, I am hearing that he is in trouble. Real trouble. What kind of trouble? Apparently all the kinds of trouble. I have heard things that say he might have been in trouble because of something to do with female staffers. I have heard that he might be in tax trouble, using campaign funds in the wrong way. I've heard that the Fang Fang files, that Chinese spy he had some sort of a relationship with, maybe coming out. How much trouble is he in? Well, Eric Swalwell's now going on the news saying this stuff. This sounds like a man who's in trouble.
It's not just all that's going to come out on Epstein. It's all going to come out on how they've weaponized the Department of Justice against the president's political opponents. And so to the FBI agents who are being asked to break the law every single day, what we want to make clear, and I know this comes from Jamie Raskin and Robert Garcia, who will have the subpoena power next Congress, you will be protected if you come forward right now. If you do not come forward right now and you enable more corruption on Epstein or the weaponization, you will be before Congress and it will all come out.
I don't know that Eric Swalwell is going to be able to finish his campaign for governor in California. Look, they're all just criminals. They're all just dirty thieves. They tell you it all the time. They're just thieves in the end. The worst low-life scum in the world. Hey, Jesse, I like your show and your silly commentaries. Yet I've come to believe in my heart of hearts we can no longer vote out of the mess that is bestowed on us. It's naive to think so. Look at Europe. Gone. They have no testosterone in their bodies. Now look at the feminization that has happened in America. The right isn't far behind the left, so on and so forth. I think that you need to get to Red America and look around for a little bit. I've never promised you that we're going to be fine. Never said that. But I would argue if you live in a blue area, or if you just sit at home and watch the news all day and you browse social media all day, if that's your condition, I think you have a view of America that may not be 100% accurate. Are there parts of the country like that? Of course there are. There are also large parts of the country who still think like you think, act like you act. If we can manage to not replace them all with people who have H-1Bs, we'll be better off. But I think we have a chance. And always remember this. Always remember that our state system, that we have states with so much power and authority. Our state system, it's going to, if let's say we're about to fall on really hard times. I'm not saying that, but let's say we are. Our state system gives us the ability to navigate those waters in ways that other countries may not have been able to withstand. If we have to take that to an extreme level, let's say, there's global collapse, civil war in America and all those things. Texas could stand up and be its own country tomorrow. And it's not that we wouldn't have huge problems with everything going on around us, and it's not that things wouldn't get bad, but Texas was its own country. Texas could be its own country tomorrow. Wyoming could be its own country tomorrow. I don't know how it's going to work out, but I know that we just keep on plugging away. All right? All right.
And now...
here's a headline.
By the goal, you know the thing.
Headlines we didn't get to.
New study. Trans kids are much more likely to suffer crisis after transition. I'm not hopeful of it, but I would really like to see a day come where all the doctors and psychiatrists and parents and school people who did that to a generation of kids are thrown in dark cages for the rest of their lives. Boston put social workers on duty with police to increase safety, and an officer was just stabbed after taking advice from one. Oh, it turns out sending the social worker to talk to the psycho with a knife who's drugged out on the sidewalk, it turns out that doesn't work really well, but these people are destroyers. Texas continues cutting services for illegal immigrants. At least that's something. OPEC agrees to boost oil output when the Strait of Hormuz reopens. That's UAE, Kuwait, Iraq. They're saying, hey, if you can get the Strait back open again, we're going to crank up the oil output. Again, I want to remind you, pray. The next 24 hours are going to be really, really, really important for us. Red Sox fans already turning on owner John Henry with the team off to a brutal start. This is what happens when you let producer Corey add some stories to the headlines I didn't get to segment. Corey, I am sorry about your Red Sox. I hope you can get some new management just so we can all stop having to hear about it around here. I will see you tomorrow. That's all.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.